This morning we studied concerning sin, the subject of sin. We talked about the fact that it is certainly an important subject. It is a Bible subject. And we talked about our relation to sin as men and women. The fact that the first sin was committed in the Garden of Eden and God had given instructions to Adam and Eve concerning the fruit, the forbidden fruit, and they ate thereof and thus they broke the law of God. And we talked about the fact that the Bible describes sin. Matter of fact, it identifies sin as lawlessness or transgression of the law of God. 1 John 3 and verse 4. The fact is that all unrighteousness is sin. We discussed that in 1 John 5 and verse 17 this morning. But we also talked about the fact that in regard to sin, sin is not something that we can be neutral to. We're either for God or we're against Him. We're either engaging in sin or we're engaging in righteousness. Not only that, we talked about the fact that sin is not something that's to be made fun of. We're not to mock sin. The writer of Proverbs and also the psalmist talked about the fact that the fool is the one who mocks sin. So sin is not a funny thing. It's not something to make a joke of. It's not something to mock about because God will hold us accountable for our sins. We talked about the fact that in the Bible we're taught that we're not to love sin or the pleasures of sin, because those things pull us away from God and separate us from God. We also talked about the fact that we're not to minimize sin or dismiss sin. Sin is disobedience to God. Transgression, going beyond and breaking God's law, or failing to live up and do what God asks to do. Omission. Commission or omission. And so it's something that we need to understand that sin is there and we're not to minimize it. And we realize the fact that sin has its consequences. And this evening we're going to continue on and complete the lesson we started this morning talking about the sin and some descriptive words about it in the Bible and the fact that there are consequences that are paid when we continue in our sins. Also this morning very quickly we talked about the fact that sin is to be admitted. Sin is to be admitted. It's to be confessed. Psalm chapter 51 verses 3 and 4 and 1 John chapter 1 verses 8 through 10. It's our responsibility to admit our sin. Confess that we've done wrong. And so it's something that needs to be admitted. Sin is something that ought to be hated. We ought to hate sin. God hates sin. God hates lying. God hates double-mindedness. God hates the sins that are listed in so many places throughout the Bible. Sin is in complete opposition to God. So we're to hate sin. We're not only to hate sin, but we're to shun sin. That is, we're to avoid sin. Do everything possible to stay out of sin, to avoid committing sin. Romans 12 and verse 9, we're to abhor that which is evil. Then we talked about the fact that sin is to be exposed. The fact that we talked about Joshua and the children of Israel and the sin of Achan and taking the Babylonian garment and the valuables and he took them and hid them. And so God caused some things to happen to Israel and to Joshua there because there was sin in the camp. And so it had to be brought forth. It had to be exposed. And Joshua brought them out and the sin was exposed. Then in Romans chapter 6 verses 1 through 9, we talked about this morning that sin is something that needs to be conquered. And God provided the way for us to conquer sin through the shedding of His Son's blood, through God's grace and mercy of giving His Son, and is out and prayed in His prayer that the blood of Christ would forgive us of our sins when we come before God in the right manner. And then we talked about this morning the fact that sin is to be repented of. And then for not only be repented of, but that we would be baptized in the waters of baptism that represent the blood of Christ to the believer to wash away our sins. Romans 6, 3 and 4, Acts 2, 38 and Acts 3, 19. So just a quick review of what we talked about this morning. And the lesson tonight is going to be fairly short, James. Some points that will help us to keep in our minds this week as we go forth to school, to work, to play, to whatever it is we're doing in our life this week. We'll be mindful of the fact that sin is there. We are human beings. We are flesh. And so we are a spirit living within our fleshly bodies, and we're drawn away of our own lust when our lust is conceived, and when it brings forth sin, and when sin is finished, it brings forth death. So we need to be on guard about what's going on around us. Watch your eyes and watch your hands and watch your feet. Watch the things we do, our actions, and be careful that we do not partake of sin this coming week or any time in our life. Try to avoid it and try to go around it at all cost. So let's look at some of the nature and consequences of sin this evening. Turn to Isaiah chapter 59. I want to read just a few verses to get our thoughts on the Word of God as we begin. Isaiah 59 verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. We can go all the way through the next several verses through verse 8, and he talks about the fact of how some people sin and why so many people have sinned against God, and what happens in people's lives, the reason sin cultivates in the lives of people. But these two verses are very important. The fact is that sin will do something that is very devastating, and that is it separates us from God. We go back again, it says, the Lord is there to save us. His hand's not shortened that he cannot save, nor his ear heavy that he cannot hear. We've already talked about the fact that God has provided the way for salvation. But look at verse 2 again. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. We cannot impress upon our own mind, and we cannot impress on the minds of others enough, resoundingly enough, of the importance of knowing that sin is there and it's a danger, and we need to avoid it at all cost. And so we look at that, we see that man has been separated from God then because of sin, as it says in Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2. But because God in His mercy and His grace had a plan beforehand, before he made man, he had a plan for his son to come, and down through the ages, then when the time was right, when the time was mature, that God would send his son. He did that, and his son did his part. He gave his innocent blood for our sins. So it's important then that we learn a number of things from God's Word about the nature and consequences of sin. And I'm not going to tell you that are Christians who studied the Word of God anything you haven't already heard. Some things you don't already know. You already know these things, but it's going to be a good review for us, I think, for just a few minutes this evening. Let's look at the nature and consequences of sin. First of all, when we talk about sin, sin is deceptive. Things that we do in transgressing God's law or leaving off and failing to live up to what God asks us to do, sin is deceptive. We may see the pleasure that's there, but we don't see the result of involving ourselves in that pleasure. We may see something there that we think is something we want to involve ourselves in, or we may hear and we may observe other people doing things around us that deep down in our heart we know it's wrong because God speaks against it, but well, everybody else is doing it, why don't I do it? Everybody else is doing it, and their attitude's okay, and they seem to be prospering all right. You know, I'll be okay if I engage in that also. See, that's just one of the deceptive measures of the devil in making us think about the fact that, well, I can do this, and I'll never have to pay the consequences. Now, that's not the way it is. Sin is deceptive. Hebrews 3, verses 12 through 13 talks about the fact that we need to be careful of where we go and what we do, because sin will lead us in directions we ought not to go. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. And he goes on talks about the fact that we don't need to deceive ourselves into thinking things that are not true. Deceive ourselves into thinking that we're something we ought not to be. Deceiving ourselves into thinking that we are something that we're not. And so sin is deceptive in so many ways. Let's go to Romans chapter 2 and read just a few verses this evening concerning what the Apostle Paul says concerning sin and some of the deceitfulness of sins. Romans 2, verse 1. He says, therefore you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge, for in whatever you judge another you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. And he goes on down and he says, but we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? So here's the idea of sin now. Think about it a minute. The fact that some people are deceived by sin and are thinking that, well, I can engage in this and it's okay to do this because I'll never have to pay the consequences. I'll never have to face up to my actions or my deeds. Well, we're going to see in these verses that certainly each and every one of us are going to face up to our sins. And the only way to avoid having to face up to those sins is to go to God and obey Him through His mercy and grace and by faith and receive forgiveness of sins according to the pattern that He's given us to follow to get forgiveness of sins. But He goes on then in verse 5 of Romans chapter 2. But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourselves wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. So sin is deceptive because some people think that, you know, I can do this and I'll never get caught. I can do this and I'll never have to answer for it. Well, the Bible is clear in saying that we may not get caught up in this life. There may be certain things in this life that we may get away with, but in the judgment, well, we'll give an account of everything we do. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10. We're all going to give an account before God. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in the body, whether it be good or bad. Secondly, sin is progressive. Turn with me to James chapter 1 and let's look at these verses of 13 through 15, when the fact that when we are tempted and we're drawn away, things happen in sequence, and it just goes on and it just makes worse things happen as we go along. Sin is sin, but sometimes we could stop short of doing that if we just control our life and avoid sin and control it. But sin is progressive. James chapter 1, beginning in verse 13. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he'll receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love Him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He Himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. You see, our lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Our desires, human desires, fleshly desires. We're drawn away of what? Of our own desires. And then what have we done? We're enticed. The desire is there. We're enticed to engage in it. Then when desire is conceived, verse 15 of James chapter 1, then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Look at the progression there of sin. The temptation, our desires, the enticement, the conceiving of the desire, giving forth to sin, sin growing, and bring forth death. Go to Joshua. Well, we won't go and read Joshua chapter 7, verses 20 and 21, but I mentioned that earlier on another point. But again, we go back to the fact that sin is progressive. And if we look at that, I want us to note that certainly when you think about Achan and his sin, when Joshua confronted Achan and the children of Israel and said, there's sin in the camp, come forth and everyone meet and let's talk about this and we're going to bring this thing out to open. Achan came and he confessed that I have sinned. And he said what he did now, his sin was progressive. He said, I saw, and then he took, and then he hid. He saw the garment, he saw the silver, he saw the things, he took them, and then he hid them. The progressiveness of sin. Had he saw those things and stopped at that and not taken them, then been a different story. But it's progressive. He looked, he was enticed, he took, and he did something with it. He did the wrong thing. So sin is progressive. We need to be careful that when things come about in our life and start tempting us, we need to stop it then. Stop it short so we don't go any further. Sin is enslaving. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 19. Turn over there. If you think about the fact that sin enslaves, when people continue to sin, it just wraps around them, and it becomes like a seared conscience. It becomes more and more gravitating to do these things for people, to engage in sin. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 19. It says, "While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. By whom a person is overcome, by whom also he is brought into bondage." When we are enticed and when we give into our lust and the progression of sin comes about, then it enslaves. That's why we have so many addictions today. Addictions to so many things that are in contradiction to God's law, because people have come and become enslaved in an activity, in something they enjoy doing, and then before long, it becomes no longer a joy. It becomes something they feel like they have to do. They have to have it. They have to have it. And many of them know it's wrong. And they look back and they know it's wrong, but they can't turn it loose. It's got them. You know people like that. I know people like that. But the good thing is that many of those people, they get help. They get help from counselors and family and friends, and they listen. They get help from God. And it's not that we can't break free from that and be free again if we follow God's plan. We can't. But people become enslaved. Just yesterday, there was a young lady. She had a couple of phone calls. And after the phone call, she just was in tears. She was just so sad. So tore up. Been in a broken home. A number of years ago, her dad had hurt his back. And he got on painkillers, James. His family, his in-laws, everybody tried to help him. Done everything possible. Took him, he'd get out. Take him, he'd get out. Then it was he would take things that wasn't his. He'd run up accounts and bills that he couldn't pay in somebody else's name. And then it got him. He got a hold of him. Strong man. Healthy man. Intelligent man. And it just ruined him. And now his health's bad. And the thing that's happened to him this past week, he knows that he's saying now, if I hadn't have done that, if I hadn't have done that, I wouldn't be in the shape I'm in. And he's trying to tell his child, don't do what I did. Don't end up like me. Because this thing enslaved me. And it will enslave us. It could be any number of things. Doesn't have to be drugs or anything like that. It can be other things that people are enslaved to. We can become slaves to money. We can become slaves to a lot of things. Other verses there talk about becoming enslaved and overwhelmed with sin. We need to be careful because that's the nature of sin. Sin is wasteful. Luke chapter 15, verses 13 and 14. All of you who've been baptized into Christ and have studied the New Testament and the Gospels know about the prodigal son. He came to his father and he wanted to divide my part of my inheritance from me, Father. His father gave it to him and he went into a foreign country. And he wasted his inheritance with riotous living. Wasteful living. What happened was there's nothing wrong with getting your inheritance or even going away to a different place. Across the county line, a state line, or a foreign country. But what's wrong is when you join yourself to and you go to somewhere at home or another place, either one, doesn't matter, and you become wasteful and you live in a riotous way and you engage in activities you ought not to engage in, you not only lose your money, but you lose your self-esteem. This man was out there and he would fain have eaten of the husk of the corn that the man who had the swine was feeding them because he was hungry, had nowhere to eat. And he said, I know what I'll do. I'll go back to my father. And notice what he did. When he come back, he said, I'll go back to my father and I'll say, Father, I have sinned. So what sin does? Sin causes people to waste their lives. And when he came, his father saw him coming afar off, and he comes to his father, first thing he says, Father, I have sinned. Sin will cause a life to be wasted. Well, sin is divisive. We've already mentioned Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. It divides man from God. It separates man from God. James 4 and verse 4, we see that certainly sin is divisive in that when we go after the ways of the world, it separates us from God. It caused an enmity between us and God. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 6, sin divides. It separates us from right, the right and wrong. It separates us from doing right because we engage in sin. It separates brethren. It separates families. Sin separates marriages. When one partner is unfaithful, it separates people. It's divisive. Breaks up home, breaks up relationships, breaks up business partnerships, breaks up neighborly associations. It breaks up so many things because sin will do that. Romans 7:13-25 breaks it down and talks about how the fact that sin separates us from God and the things we engage in separates us from others. Sin is divisive in that it separates the Christian who becomes involved in sin and will not repent of their sin. It separates them from the faithful members in the church because they have to be called upon to repent. And if they will not, after the second and third admonition and they are warned, they have to be withdrawn from. And sin is divisive in it. It divides that person who is walking in sin, who is a Christian, who is now unfaithful, from those who are faithful. Sin does that. Well, sin is destructive. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Eve ate the fruit. She gave to her husband. God talked to him. Because you have sinned, you're going out of this garden. Sin is destructive. Look at Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. Many of you could quote those verses and talk about them and preach a sermon on them without me saying anything. But look at Psalms chapter 1. Sin is dangerous. And when you look at the fact that it's destructive, look what it does. Psalms chapter 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And the man who does that, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. But, verse 4, notice this, sin is destructive. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Sin causes people to perish physically and spiritually. It's a terrible thing. Well, the lesson this morning and the lesson tonight, what does my attitude need to be towards sin? What does your attitude need to be towards sin? Well, let's look to James chapter 1 and read these verses, and the lesson will be yours. James chapter 1, what should be our attitude? Well, attitude is that we need to believe in God and be willing to submit to His ways. But James chapter 1, beginning in verse 21. Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Our attitude towards sin should be, we're going to lay it aside. Because look what it will do. Look at the consequences. Look at the dangers. We're going to lay it aside. And we're going to receive with meekness the Word of God, which is able to save your soul. And then we're going to be doers of the Word. But be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone's a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks, verse 25, into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one shall be blessed in what he does. Well, sin does all these things we've talked about this morning. I would hope that we would all be sincere in examining what God's Word has to say for us, and that we would trust what God tells us concerning sin, and that we'd do our best to keep it out of our life. If you're here this evening and you're a child of God and there's something in your life that has caused you no longer to be faithful, then you can get that sin out of your life this evening by coming forward, confessing your wrong if it's of a public nature, repenting of it, and we pray to God and He'll forgive you. If you're here this evening and you've never been baptized into Christ, then if you know what you should do to be saved and you know there's sin in your life, then you need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. be willing to confess that, repent of your sins, and be baptized this evening, and you can leave this building forgiven of your sins. What a wonderful word, forgiven. So what we all need to do is stay forgiven, overcome sin. If you need to respond to the gospel call, please do so while we're leading the invitation song.